Good morning. This morning we're going to read from Mark chapter 14. This is a well-known portion of scripture. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. Perhaps we could pray before we go into this. Father, we come to you this morning and we need your help as we open up your word. We know that it is your Spirit who teaches us. And so we pray that each of us might have hearts and ears open to what you are saying to us. We ask, Father, to just speak directly to our hearts this morning through your word. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is a well-known story about the denial that Peter made. Mark sort of summarizes it very nicely. It goes like this in his gospel. Jesus says, "I neither know nor understand what you mean," when she's accused of having been with this man. And again, a servant girl says, "This man was one of them." Again, he denies his association even with the other disciples of Jesus. And then the bystanders accuse him of being one of the disciples because his accent betrayed him. Peter began to curse and swear and claim that he did not know Jesus. Now, if you've read the other Gospels, you have seen the story is presented with a little more detail. Mark likes to keep things short and brief. I will say this, that I have gone through the four Gospels, and I can put the four stories together, and they work. So there's no contradiction here. It's just that some of them give different details than others did. So there's no contradiction. But when we think about this story, I wonder what was going through your mind when we read it, or when you read it. What goes through your mind? Not so long ago, I heard the sad story of a Christian friend who had denied the Lord, dishonored the Lord by moral failure. And after the shock of hearing that, I said to myself, how could he do it? And then I heard what his pastor said, and it challenged me. His pastor said, "When I heard this, I said, it could have been me." And so when we read this story, I wonder if you think of Peter in that way. This story could be about you. And I can tell you with all honesty that it is about me. I have denied the Lord, and I suspect that some of you have also. But if you think of the story, it's a different Peter we see here than we saw earlier in the chapter. Remember earlier in the chapter in verse 31, he said, "If I must die," speaking to Jesus, he said, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." Jesus had said, "You will. You'll all fall away." But Peter is quite self-confident, quite arrogant, that he would not do this. So we ask the question, who is Peter? Who is this man who would deny his Lord with curses and swearing? Do we have anything in common with him? Was he simply a weak Christian? Let's think about it. As I read about Peter, just reminded myself some of the earlier scriptures about Peter, I think I found that Peter was very special to Jesus. And I think in a certain sense, we are all special to Jesus. But if you go back to the very first chapter of the book, we learn that Peter was the first disciple that Jesus, along with Andrew, that Jesus invited to follow him. There was something special about Peter. And you know, Jesus came by us at some point in our lives and invited us. He has invited each one of us to follow him. I don't know where you were or what you were doing when Jesus came by. I know I was, it's almost 70 years ago, I was a little boy, and I heard the voice of Jesus speaking to me, and I got out of bed, prayed to accept Jesus. I did it many times after that, just to be sure he heard me, but I did it. And so I heard Jesus saying, follow me. And I don't know where you were, but I'd like you, if you have decided to follow Jesus, I'd like you just this morning to let your mind go back to that day when you decided to follow Jesus. It was a blessed day, a happy day for all of us. And so what did Jesus say to him at that time? Jesus said, I'm going to make you an evangelist or a fisher of men. I've just recently been told that the word evangelist really means missionary. We were all called to be missionaries in one way or another. So Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to make you an evangelist, missionary, fisher of men, whatever. And then if we think of Peter, remember Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? And suddenly the Father revealed to Peter, the Bible tells us, that this was the Christ. Imagine, Peter gets this revelation that this was the Christ. So when Jesus said to him, who do you say that I am? Peter answers, you are the Christ. We also know that Peter was a man of great courage. He single-handedly took on that crowd that came with their swords and clubs and so on to arrest Jesus. It may not have been a wise move, but he did it. And then, even after Peter had denied Jesus three times, what did Jesus do? Did he just turn his back and say, well, that's enough of Peter? No, but it says he turned toward Peter and he looked at him. And that look brought Peter to tears. A meaningful look it was. Jesus cared about Peter. Then after the resurrection, we read in the Bible that the angel who met Mary and Salome said to these two women at the tomb of Jesus, the angel said, go and tell his disciples and Peter. So I say Peter was somebody very close to the heart of God, to the heart of Jesus. But in our gospel, he has just denied Jesus. Denied that he even knew him. And so we might be quick to judge him and say, what was wrong with you, Peter? How could you do it? But let's just look at a few facts. There was a real dangerous situation going on here at the moment. This was not just a calm evening. This angry mob had tried to catch one of Jesus' followers. And the young man had narrowly escaped by just giving up his garment and fleeing naked. So it was not a very calm situation to be in. Then on top of that, Peter had just impulsively and unwisely tried to cut the ear off one of the soldiers. And he didn't know who might have seen that. He had no idea who or how many people had noticed that. And then Peter, along with John, and I think they must have had some second thoughts here, because the Bible tells us that all the disciples fled and left Jesus. But then we learn that Peter and John followed at a distance. They followed, and they followed at a distance. They were nervous. They were scared. But Peter had answered the call many 3.5 years before, perhaps, to follow Jesus, and he had been following Jesus. And now, at this very time, he decides he still wants to follow Jesus, and he followed him right into the courtyard of the priests. I like to think that Peter wanted to be close to Jesus, even though he was nervous, even though he was scared. So I think we can conclude that Peter was no lightweight when it comes to courage and love for the Lord. He perhaps would put most of us, if not all of us, to shame. But in the courtyard, he suddenly realizes the situation. The questions and accusations start to come. And perhaps he now wishes that he was one of those disciples who had fled and not come back. I don't know, but that's what I might have been wishing if I'd been there. So we have to admit, Peter failed. He denied his Lord. What had happened? I think in order to really understand what had happened to Peter, we have to go back and look at some of the other conversations that Jesus and Peter had had, or at least Peter had been a listener in. He was, knowing the history of Peter, he probably was involved in the conversation. If we go earlier in the chapter, we see a conversation, Mark 14 and 27 to 31, which you've already had before you. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, and I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. What was going on here? Peter heard the words that Jesus had said. Jesus said they were all going to fall away. How did Peter react to this? Peter reacted with self-confidence and arrogance. He didn't pay any attention to the warning. He just said, "No, not me. I won't do that." Do I take seriously what Jesus says in his word to me? You know, when we go back to that story of Peter first being called by Jesus, we think of that story. Why does Jesus record the history of Peter? I think he records the history of Peter because Peter's life has some warnings in it for us. And if we don't hear these warnings, we're just like Peter. Peter didn't hear the warnings. And if we don't read the story of Peter and listen to the warnings, we'll be in the same position as Peter was in. Do I ask myself when I read a warning, is there any chance that I could fail? Or do I just think, no, not me. That's not possible for me. That Peter didn't heed the warning that Jesus had given. Then we come to another conversation. This takes us back to the same day that when Peter had declared that Jesus was the Christ. Peter had made a very bright confession, "You are the Christ." But I don't think he really entered into the significance of his own confession. And you know, sometimes I may listen and get the right answers to questions of theology and biblical teaching, but I may fail to grasp that teaching is speaking to me. And I think that's what happened to Peter that day. He had the right answers, but he failed to realize what that would mean to him. I say that because if you go back to Mark 8 and verse 31, we read a little story there, another conversation actually. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." What was Jesus stating in this conversation? He was stating very clearly that he, the Messiah, must suffer many things. He would be rejected. He would face death by the Jewish elders, chief priests, and scribes. It was pretty plain what he was saying. But what was the problem? Peter had a different agenda for the Messiah. Peter fell under this messianic expectation that when the Messiah came, there would be an earthly kingdom set up, and that the disciples would participate in the ruling of that kingdom. So instead of listening to Jesus, instead of going along with what Jesus was saying, he had the audacity to rebuke Jesus, the one he had just declared to be the Christ. And in so doing, he had unwittingly become a voice for Satan. Like us, Peter had this natural disposition toward thinking the way humans normally think, and failed to grasp that this was very different than God's ways for man and for Jesus. So I ask again, do I hear the words of Jesus with my natural ears and brain? Or do I try to find the spiritual significance of those words for my life? I may get the theology correct, but I may fail to apply it correctly in my life. And this is what was going on with Peter. And so, because of this mindset, Peter, should he do in that Garden of Gethsemane? Get out his sword and fight. Sometimes we'd like to set the world right with the sword. But now Peter is sitting in the courtyard. And perhaps only now, as these questions started to come and these accusations started to be made, he starts to realize that just maybe the Messiah would suffer and die. Just maybe Jesus' words were correct. But he was afraid to suffer and die with Christ. Do I want to be a follower of Christ, even if it means that I would lose my life? I think that as Christians, we should face that question. It's not likely that those of us sitting here this morning, those of us who are present, will ever be called to physically die. We may be, but it's not likely. But would I be willing if I were called to die? That's really what I get out of this. Peter wasn't willing. He'd followed, and he had many good points, but when he came to this point of realizing that Christ just might die, he wasn't quite ready for that. Then we come to another conversation. This one's in the same chapter, Mark 8, 34, 35. This one Peter failed to grasp the meaning of too. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." We learn from this that following Jesus in Peter's time and just as in our own time is about not denying the Lord, but denying ourselves. And that's where the problem comes in. If I'm going to be a faithful Christian, if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, I'm called to deny myself. To put such a concept into practice, I must be prepared to lose my life, either literally or figuratively. But I must. That's what Jesus was teaching them. I must be willing to give up my comforts, my pleasure, my dreams, my aspirations, even my life, to follow Jesus. That's powerful. That's a challenge. Usually, denying myself means making changes in my life that I didn't plan on making, giving up something that I like, something that gives me comfort and pleasure. Ever try denying yourself? I've just tried it recently, giving up peanuts. It's not easy. They're very comforting when you're stressed. But I need to deny myself, eh? Ever try giving up coffee? You know it's not easy, eh? Denying ourselves is never easy. But you know, in denial of ourselves, the denial of ourselves that involves giving up people is, I think, the most difficult one. There may be somebody in my life that God is asking me to give up. I think I may have told this story before, but I'll tell it again. But my friend Alex Ten. Alex Ten lives in the country of Brunei, which has been in the news lately. Alex sent me an email a number of years ago and said, "I'm getting married. Would you come to my wedding? I'll let you know the date when it's finalized." I never heard from him again for a long time. Finally met up with him and I said, "Alex, you invited me to your wedding and you never told me when." He said, "Well, I didn't get married. What happened?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you the truth, Jim. I was sitting with my fiance one night, and she looked at me and said, 'Alex, who do you love the most, Jesus or me?' And he said, I tried to explain to her that there's a lot of different types of love. And she repeated the question, Alex, you haven't answered. Who do you love the most, Jesus or me? And he said, I tried again to explain to her that you can't compare these two types of love. And so she asked me three times, Alex, who do you love the most, Jesus or me? And he said, if you insist, I love Jesus more. And that was the end of the relationship. Well, I can tell you Alex is now happily married to a fine Christian woman, and we're going to see him in a few weeks. But he made a decision. And those kind of decisions are hard. But I challenge each of us. Are we, you know, making business relationships, romantic relationships, whatever it may be, are we denying Jesus in them? This concept may have come into Peter's mind when he was sitting in that courtyard, and he maybe have been saying to himself, I didn't quite agree to give up everything. Then there's a same occasion, Mark 8:38, Jesus continued with some sober words. Whoever is ashamed of me denies me, and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We see the same conversation, I think it's the same one at least, but enlarged with more detail in Matthew 24:33. I'm going to read the full amount just to get the story here. Jesus said, a disciple, this is a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? Have no fear, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear, whisper, proclaim on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Strong words. These words challenge every one of us. I would say this morning, I don't know all of you here, but if there's anybody here that's not a follower of Jesus, anybody who has never made that decision to let Jesus be your Lord and Savior, these are very strong words. Notice what he says. Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Just read last week about a professor at MIT who claimed to be an atheist. For some reason, she read these words, and she said, it just struck me. Will someday God actually deny me, deny that I am a person, deny that I am who I am? And that led her to seek the truth and come to Christ. So I would challenge you, if you're not a believer, there'll be someday Jesus will say to you, you've got no entrance to heaven. You've got no ticket to heaven. You will be assigned to eternal punishment. So I just would invite you to confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior and to become a follower of his. These words also speak to those who are mere professing but not real. And I challenge each one of us today, are we real? Yes, we may come to church. We may attend Bible studies. Young people will go to youth studies. People will get baptized. But are you real? Are you really out and out for Christ? Or are you one of those that Jesus will sometimes say to you, depart from me because I never knew you? Matthew 5. Those are solemn words. Well, when Peter was in that courtyard, he was just afraid. He was afraid of proclaiming his allegiance to his master. He feared those who could kill the body. He had forgotten that the Father takes care of even the sparrows and that he's worth more than a sparrow. So these verses can be applied in many different ways. They can be applied to a believer too. Paul actually explains to us how these words apply to a believer. If you go to 2 Timothy, again, I've forgotten the chapter. I'll just read it. Therefore, I endure everyone for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if you've died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But did you notice there that Paul said that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory? And then he begins to talk about if we deny him and if we are faithful to him. I believe that Paul is saying in order to fully understand this, you've got to understand that there's a coming eternal day of glory when God will reward those who have not denied him, who have been faithful to him. There's also a coming day when there'll be no reward if we have denied him for that particular event. But I love while Paul ends that he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. What a powerful God and Savior we have. Fred was referring to that this morning. Well, how wonderful that we have a God and Savior who understands us, who knows our weaknesses, who knows that we fail him, who knows that we deny him at times. And yet he says he will remain faithful to us. That's applying it to the Christian. So what happened to Peter that he failed? We know he had a willing spirit. Jesus said just before this took place that he had a willing spirit but weak flesh. He was proud and self-confident. He did not take the warning of Jesus that he would fail. He didn't take that warning seriously. He wanted the personal glory of being associated with a popular and powerful king. He had not understood the principle of self-denial. He feared powerful and dangerous people. He forgot about the sovereignty of God, who even looked after the sparrows. He forgot about the day when Jesus would acknowledge his faithfulness in eternal glory. Now, just before we close, do I ever deny Jesus? How can I deny Jesus? Well, I can be like Peter. I can deny him with my words or with my silence. And I confess I've denied him many times with my silence. I could have spoken up for Jesus and I didn't. Perhaps some of you can identify with that too. I can deny him by not doing things that he's asked me to do. I'll never forget, something sticks in my mind. Many years ago in the Philippines, I saw a man in pain at the bus stop. I was driving by, and I came up with many, many excuses why I shouldn't stop to help him. And I didn't stop to help him. I confess that I denied him by my lack of action. We can do that often. But there are other ways that I can deny my Lord. If I allow sin in my life, it's a denial of the Lord. Don't need to turn to this, but Isaiah 53:12-13. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. How many times do we sin or we fail to own who Jesus is, and we really come up with some lying excuses as to why we do it? Eh? Well, I love to use the one that it's just not my personality. You know, some people have that personality that they can just freely talk, and I like to use the one I'm shy and quiet and can't do that. But that's denying the Lord with lying words. Titus 1:16 says they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. So our actions. Proverbs 30:9 says, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? We can deny the Lord by our attitude and words that express that just, I am independent. I don't need to listen to God's voice. I can deny my Lord and his power by professing and appearing to be something I'm not. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And there are many more, I'm sure. There's one more that I came across. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So there are many ways we can deny the Lord. So in closing, from this narrative of Peter's denial, what do I learn? I learn that my lack of faith in fearful circumstances can lead me to deny the Lord. My faithlessness because of the fear of offending people instead of my Savior can lead me to deny the Lord. My faithlessness because I have my own agenda for my Christian life, one that will allow me to be popular and comfortable, can lead me to deny the Lord. My faithlessness because I do not grasp the significance of having a sovereign God who is in control of all every event in my life. My faithlessness because I forget about the day of eternal glory when he will acknowledge me before the Father. But I also learn that like Peter, I'm special to Jesus. And even when I'm faithless, my Lord and Savior remains faithful to me. Let's pray. Fathers, once again, you've reminded us Peter's life and events in his life to teach us some lessons. Father, I pray for myself that I will learn these lessons. And I pray for each person here today that they too will learn the lessons. That none of us will put anything or anyone ahead of you, because if we do, we know that we have denied you. Lord, we love you. We don't want to fail you. Keep us strong. Keep us true to you. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.